I always do this whenever I have to do welcome. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? Now, y'all know I like to talk, but what am I going to say? And and then Thursday comes around, and my truck breaks down. And I'm like, well, this is great. So I had a moment, and then a couple of friends reminded me, you don't get to go there. Remember all that positive stuff you told me? I was like, yes, shut up. I don't want to hear that right now. My truck broke down. And so I worked through that. But the lesson I learned in that, and I'm on two parts right here, because last night at June Jam, I saw something that was kind of eye-opening spiritually and reminded me of some stuff. But the lesson I learned in that were from some very lovely ladies in my life. And my mom looked at me, and she said, if you don't give God an opportunity to show out, then he can't. And I said, huh. Here you have an opportunity to allow God to continue to do the things that he's done in your life. When I went into school, I didn't know where the money was coming from, and there it was. And, you know, and so it was funny because in a moment I was like, man, it's almost like we compartmentalize God. You're allowed to do these kinds of miracles, but maybe not this kind of miracle. Without even thinking about it, we almost say, no, I don't think you can do this. And he's like, well, I've split the sea. I'm thinking maybe I can handle that. So that kind of woke me back up. And I was like, you're absolutely right, you know. Sure, it's going to be tough, and it has been, especially being in school. But if you give God an opportunity, I'm sure he's going to take it, and he's going to show up for you. The other one was, is we're talking about growing the table, different things like that. And last night we're at June Jam, and we meet this individual, and we got to get to know somebody new. But I thought about it, and there was some stuff that went in behind that. But I realized that if you want to grow, and Buren has talked about this before when he had his growth spurt and his legs were hurting, and he's in pain. Growth is uncomfortable, and it's painful sometimes. But if we talk about growing our table or growing the table, that requires us to not only become vulnerable sometimes, but to grow. And that hurts sometimes. Growth, stretching, all that stuff requires a little bit of pain. And I think that sometimes as Christians, we get comfortable and we're cruising along in the carpool lane and everything is fine and dandy and we got our friends and everything's good and we got our relationships. But if we're going to grow or grow the table, in fact, which we are called to do, that's going to require us to become uncomfortable and to continue to be uncomfortable in order for God to place us in situations where we have the opportunity to not only share his love, shine his light, but to encourage people where they're at. So I love coming on Sunday mornings for two reasons. It's like recharging my battery, like you plug your phone in. It's like a recharge. And the second reason is it's sanctuary. So if you need a safe place to grow and things change, this is your place. I urge you, I encourage you, find yourself getting into his presence this morning and finding the opportunities that God has for you, letting him encourage you, letting the Spirit encourage you this morning. So if you stand, we're gonna worship.
To the one who has to ransom my soul. Calvary covers it all. Separate us from mercy and grace. He is faithful to save. Oh, His blood never fails. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame. My soul.
for the security that you give to us in every moment. You are so big and you are so everywhere. And there are moments when we are in the waiting. We are waiting for you constantly. And what courage and refuge can we find you there? Because you are I am, and you are everywhere, and you are in the waiting, and you are the beginning and the end. And we cannot escape that. And we thank you, and we praise you for your presence, for your glory. We praise you, and we honor you, and we embrace you. Thank you.
You did.
walk with me every day.
Pastor Bearden is getting ready to come. Just want to remind you that your connection card is in your bulletin each and every week. And if you are a member of Eagles Way, we expect you to fill that out. And that is the way that you sign up for different things and let us communicate with prayer requests and on the back. And if you're visiting, thank you for being here this morning. And you can fill one of those out and just put it, we'll contact you by email or a text, whichever is better for you. And thank you for being here. So.
All right, glad you're here. Yeah? Thank you, Terry. In fact, I have a special moment for you this morning. Wow, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this house. I thank you, Lord, for this table. Thank you for the people that you've brought together. Lord, I don't believe that we just haphazardly find a place, that I believe we're led to a place. And you've led many people to this place to find refuge, to find hope, and that this becomes their table, that they are able to come to on a weekly basis, and sometimes more than that, to partake, Lord, of your word, to learn, to grow, and to become. Father, I just thank you, and I ask you now to open our hearts, our minds, our ears. Let us hear what the Spirit says. And for that, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. All right, starting a month, summer series, June, July, August. And let me, this morning, first of all, I just want to tell you, we're going to set the table, no pun intended. We're going to set the table for the next 3 months, because part of the things I had to wrestle with was I'm going to do a series on fathers for 3 months. Well, what about all the women? And so I want to clarify some of that. First of all, you will get principles from it just as well as anybody else will. But there's something about fatherhood that we need. God is called our Father. And, let me go to Genesis first. But just let me read something, kind of settle this thing with men and women, okay? In Genesis 1:27, it says, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. And you see what that says? God said, let us create human beings, mankind, in our image. Okay? Our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us create them in our image. And then he said he created them both male and female. So there is a male and female aspect of God. So you can't take away from that. You need a father, you need a mother. You need a man, you need a woman. And so God did that. You know, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Shack, but a lot of controversy over it because God was depicted mostly as a woman in that. But it came a time when she had to lead him into another place and said, if what you're about to go through now, you need a father. So there's times we need a father and times we need a mother. But he said he created them that way. Then it says, and God blessed them. Say bless. Bless them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. I've given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. Say, very good. Not just good, but very good. All the other times of creation up to this point, God saw what he had made, and he said it was good. But here he says when he created mankind, when he created male and female, he didn't say that was good. He said that was very good. And his ultimate purpose and blessings was to, the ultimate purpose of mankind was to bless them. Now, we use the word bless in a way maybe we just have so de-emphasized the word. We don't give it the credit the word ought to be. I mean, most of the time, the most time we ever say bless is somebody sneezes and we say, God bless you. And blessing is much more than somebody sneezing and saying, God bless you. You can say that all you want. It's okay. Matter of fact, it's probably good for you to be able to say that from time to time so you remember the word blessing. But Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed is the person who does this, this, and this. Well, I want you to know what blessings are. The word, you know that in Timothy, the Bible says that God is a blessed God. Think about that. God is a blessed God. Blessed means to be prosperous. It means to be happy. It even means in a good way that you are so blessed that people look at you and with envy. That they would like to have what you have. They'd like to be who you are. They would like to be able to go through life the way you're going through life. And so when we talk about this, some of the Father's blessings, the Father's blessings is that you be prosperous, that you be happy, that you be, people envy what you have, that's what blessings are. That's how you're blessed, people. And the very last words of the Old Testament, the very last words were, he would send before that great and terrible day of the Lord. He said, I'll send forth someone in the spirit of Elijah, and they're going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And then for 400 years, there's silence, and then things begin to happen. God begins to really speak in the earth again in a very profound and personal way, and he has a man named John the Baptist, and he, or John's father, Zechariah, and he's in the temple to offer sacrifices. And the priest comes to Zechariah and tells Zechariah, his son is going to come, and he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. The very last words of the Old Testament and almost the very first words of the New Testament are turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Isn't that awesome? You know, I've told this story before and when I was a little boy, I was about Jet's age. And it kind of reminds me of what I did. Kind of reminds me of Jet. And my brother was rebellious. And my daddy decided to send both of us to church. I had to go because of Eddie. If he'd been all right, then maybe that wouldn't have, but I'm glad he wasn't. I'm just teasing. So daddy arranges for somebody to come pick us up every Sunday morning, take us to church. And one Sunday morning, after about a month, Eddie went to daddy and said, Bearden won't get ready. He says he's not going to church. And daddy said, well, yeah, he is going to church. So he comes in the bedroom. He says, get ready. You're going to church. And I said, I'm not going to church. I'm only about 6, 7 years old, and telling my daddy, I'm not going to church. He says, you're going to church. I said, no, I'm not. And I looked at him and I said, they tell me the story. I said, why do you send us to church and you don't go? And it pricked his heart, and he looked at me and he says, get ready. I'm going to church with you. And 3 weeks later, daddy gave his heart to Christ. Mark Batterson was teaching at a men's conference, 500 men, 500 men. And he asked this question, how many of you here were intentionally discipled by your father, earthly father? 3 raised their hand. 3 out of 500 raised their hand. I can look around here today and tell you there's many more than that who have intentionally discipled. I'm grateful for. I'm grateful that when I first started pastoring 40 some odd years ago, that our congregation wasn't male and female. It was, but it was more female than male. Because probably over half the women in the church, husband wasn't there with them. And it was a revival when you started getting the husbands and the fathers in with the wives in church. And it just didn't happen. But fatherhood is, you know, you may, there are people who don't have an earthly father. Maybe they lost an earthly father early in life, and there's nothing you can do about that. But the principles in Scripture are that God was said, I'll be a father to you. I'll be a mother to you. I'll be a husband to you. I'll be a brother that sticketh closer. A friend that sticketh closer even than a brother. I'll be whatever you need to be. But the fact is, we got to put ourselves in the place where that can happen. I want to drop some just things from my heart to kind of continue to set this up. There's a term in U.S. of A. that was coined some odd years ago, and it's called tough love. How many has ever heard of tough love? Probably everybody here can define it. I'm sure everybody here can give what we have been taught is tough love. You know, it's like you can go to the dictionary and you can find the word tough, and you can find the word love, but you can't find the word tough love. Well, I want to define what I believe with all my heart is tough love, okay? Now, you don't have to agree with what I say, okay? Is that okay? You can choose to be wrong. Here's what I believe tough love is. Tough love is carrying your cross. Tough love is Jesus sacrificing his life on the cross for us. Tough love is giving up your rights for somebody else's rights. Tough love is sacrificial love that says, I will die for you. I will bear the burden for you. I will do whatever it takes. I will choose to be wrong that you can be right. I will not choose my way but your way. I will live a selfless life. That's tough love. It's not telling somebody out and saying, I'm doing this in love. Beating the crap out of somebody and saying, I'm just doing this in love. I'm doing this because I love you. I mean, you know, kids don't really understand that. Do you know? You know, they really don't understand that. It's. I remember getting disciplined, and Daddy hit me. I'm doing this because I love you. Really? Really? Now, I learned later on there was some love there, but true, tough love is sacrificial. If you want to learn how to be selfless, get married. Now, you can be married and be selfish. You can. But you can't be happily married and be selfish. But you can be selfish. I'm going to read you, tell you a story, a statement, and that pricked my heart. And I have a goal this summer. And my goal is not stand up here and preach at you. My goal up here is to preach to us. My goal this summer is to become a better father, a better grandfather, a better spiritual father. At 66 years old, wow, that sounded old, I can still grow. I can still become more. I was ordained in a denomination that had probably some of the greatest preachers of all time in it. I mean, they were top. And I was mentored by some of them. But we went through a season of about a 10-year season. And this denomination was some of the greatest ministers and pastors in the world were dropping like flies. They were losing their churches. They were losing mega churches. They were pastoring $5,000 member churches. And they were falling. They're falling into immorality. They were falling into this and falling into that and just losing their ministry. And part of the reason that it was so detrimental is that they didn't know how to restore them. They didn't know what to do with them. The only thing they knew to do with them was abandon them. They didn't know what restoring and restoration was really all about. And part of this morning is to let you see, to be a strong spiritual father, to be a strong father, period, doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you won't make some mistakes. It just means that you know what the bullseye is, though. You understand? I'm not the perfect pastor. I'm not the perfect husband. I am not the perfect father. I am not the perfect grandfather. But I know the bullseye. And I'm shooting for the bullseye. And I'm going to keep shooting at the bullseye. You know what? Every now and then, I'm going to hit it. And you know what? It don't take hitting that bullseye that many times. It could be a critical time in your family's life where you hit that bullseye this time. And it meant, man, that's the time you needed to hit the bullseye. You needed to hit it right here because it may be one of the most detrimental times. It may be one of the most saddest times. It could be whatever, but you hit the bullseye that you, Ben, you stepped up to the plate. You hit the home run at just the right time. And it can change the destiny of your family because you hit it at the right time. And it can change the destiny of your family. I want to see that happen in all of our lives. I want us to see the bullseye. Amen? Let me tell you a way, fathers, to really, really change the destiny of your children. You ready? Pray for them. Pray for them. Just pray for them. Now, when I say pray for them, I'm not just talking about getting on your knees and praying for them. Or I pray for my family every day, 2 or 3 times a day. I pray for them. But prayer also is looking at them and telling them how wonderful they are, how great they are, what purpose they have, blessing them with positive reinforcement on a daily basis. that's praying for them too. Every time you speak something positive over their life, you've prayed for them. Because prayer is speaking forth the blessings of God into people's lives. That's what prayer is. Speaking forth the blessings of God in people's lives. And so one thing all of us can do is that we can pray for them. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad? Isn't that simple? Now, in this series, one thing that's going to happen in this series is that it's going to be very theological and very practical. Very theological and very practical. Because, you see, you've got to have sound doctrine, theology, to live a practical life. The Bible talks about having a sound mind. A sound mind is a wholesome mind, a good mind, strong mind. But it also talks about a sound doctrine. How many know you can't have a sound mind if you don't have a sound doctrine? If your doctrine's not right, your mind's not going to be right. So there's no practicality that can come out of that. But he wants you to have a sound mind, a sound doctrine, so you can have a sound mind, so you can practically live this out. Now in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Wow. Three fathers that's talked about all through the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. Jesus even talked about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There are three things you need to understand about each of those. Abraham is about separation. Abraham, he said, leave the land that you're in, go to a land here. God said in the creation, he said, a man shall leave his mother and his father and shall cleave unto his wife. Doesn't say a wife shall leave her mother and father. It says a man shall leave his mother and father and shall cleave to his wife. There's a separation that always needs to happen in life. You got to separate from some things to be what you need to be. Now, that can happen in a lot of different areas. There have been things I've had to separate myself from so I could be the husband and the father that I needed to be. There's separations that just sometimes need to happen. And then it said about Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's son. And, you know, there's not a lot said about Isaac. But what is said about him is pretty powerful. Isaac was sacrifice. You can't be a good father and not sacrifice. You can't be a father and not sacrifice. It just can't happen. How many know that? I mean, every day you're sacrificing. Every day you got to do something to sacrifice for your family. And so he says, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I'm the God of Jacob. And Jacob's who I really want to talk about this morning and end with. But Jacob, let's just turn to the next thing in Genesis and talk about. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. And at sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. And Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. And as he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven and saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. This thing's always puzzled me. I never really grasped this. And I don't know if I grasp it fully right now, but I think I've got something that'll help us with it. And at the top of the stairway stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. And the ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. And your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed. Say blessed. Don't you love that word? Through you and your descendants. What more? I am with you and will protect you wherever you go. One day I'll bring you back to this land. I'll not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I've promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It's none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. And the next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against, and he set it upright as a memorial pillow. Then he poured olive oil over it. When you study Abraham, you're going to see some flaws in a man. A lot of flaws. Isaac, you really don't see much flaws in Isaac. I don't know why Isaac is, I think because he was a type of Christ that would give his life. But Abraham had a lot of flaws. Isaac seemingly didn't have many, but Jacob, how many know Jacob was full of flaws? Even his name meant deceiver, supplanter. I believe God does this so that everybody can see you can be what he wants you to be. With your flaws, with your mistakes, with your shortcomings, with whatever might have happened in your life, you can still become what I want you to be. Because there's no perfection here. And I believe God chooses these people for that. And so Jacob, matter of fact, he got his birthright out of deception. He deceived his brother, his father, who was blind and couldn't see. He deceived him to get the blessing and still got blessed by deceiving to get the blessing. Anybody getting this? He will bless your mess if you let him. If you just let God be God in your life, he'll never give up on you and will continue to bless and bless and bless. Now, this is what I believe that stairway to heaven is. Jesus comes on the scene, and one of the disciples came to Christ and said, I want you to meet somebody. And he already told this man named Nathanael, says, I want you to meet Jesus. So this disciple's taking Jesus to meet Nathanael. Are you ready? Nathanael says about this Christ who's coming, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's the first words out of this to-be disciple's mouth is there anything good can come out of Nazareth? You know, Jesus didn't stop. He didn't go, well, I can't believe he said that. But Jesus goes, and when he sees Nathanael, you know what he says? Wow, what a man, I'm paraphrasing somewhat, what a man of God. A true son of Israel. A man full of integrity. Nathanael says about him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus says about him, wow, what a man of integrity. And then Jesus says this to him, says, I saw you standing under the fig tree. And Nathanael says, you are the Son of God. And Jesus says, you call me the Son of God because I said I saw you under the fig tree? Really? Really? Do you see it doesn't take a whole lot to become who you really need to be? It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to really go somewhere. You know, the Bible says you got faith as a grain of a mustard seed. You can speak into a mountain. You can speak into a tree. Grain of mustard seed faith can just do wonders and miracles. Sometimes we take so little of our faith. And I believe, and then he said to Nathanael, I saw the heavens open and angels ascending and descending. I believe that heaven's real close. You know that, don't you? The Bible says Heaven's his throne, the earth is his footstool. I was thinking about John Henry the other day. I went, John Henry is further away from me right now than heaven is. He's halfway around the world and heaven's right here. Heaven's right here. And there are angels ascending and descending in your life, men and women. It's your head and your heart. And there are times when your head's going to tell you this is the right thing to do, and you do it. And there's going to be times your heart says this is the right thing to do, and you don't even understand it. But it's going to be going back and forth from the head to the heart, from the head to the heart, and from the head to the heart, and from the heart to the head, from the heart to the head. There are things in my heart I've learned over the years I couldn't express. I couldn't tell you about it. I believed it. I didn't know how to say it. But later on, it got to the head. And there were things in my head that weren't really in my heart yet, but after a while, it went from my head and it went to my heart, because God wants those angels ascending and descending in your life to keep that heart and head together. I really believe that. Then in Genesis 32, Jacob is having another experience with God. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives and two servant wives and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. And after taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions, then left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Ooh. Then the man, no pain, no gain. And the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What is your name? The man asked. He replied, Jacob. Your name will no longer be Jacob. The man told him, from now on you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. Please tell me your name, Jacob said. Why do you want to know my name? The man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, I've seen God face to face. Oh, man. Yet my life has been spared. The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Even today, the people of Israel don't eat the tendon near the hip socket because of what happened that night when the man strained the tendon of Jacob's hip. Quite a story, isn't it? You know, sometimes you preach these things, you read these things, go, what in the world? What are we going to talk about here? I mean, there ain't nothing practical about this. I don't know anybody who's wrestled with somebody and they blessed him, but they blessed him by dislocating their hip. And so Jacob begins to walk with a limp. But there's something Jacob said. He was wrestling with a man, and yet he says, I saw the face of God. Let me tell you how we're going to make America great again. Donald Trump's not going to make America great again. I hope everybody knows that. Appreciate his theme. God bless you. Appreciate it. One man's not going to make America great again. I tell you what, it's going to make America great again. When we stop all the name calling, we stop all the other stuff, and we see men as gods, and we bring back honor, we bring back respect, we bring back forgiveness, we bring back love, we bring back honoring mother and father. We bring back honoring people. And we start honoring people as who they really are. We will make America great again. But it's going to be because we bring honor. I did a series of sermons years ago called Forgotten Virtues. And one of the forgotten virtues is just honor. We just have forgotten. No, the Bible says, honor your mother and father all the days of your life so it may go well with you. Honor them all the days of your life so it may go well with you. We need honor and respect. Now, back to how I was mentored years ago. When we would preach this, and I was taught this, that there are men and women even, but mostly men, who have made some mistakes in life. Because of those mistakes, You're going to walk with a limp the rest of your life. Billy, remember that? You ever remember some of that teaching years ago? You mess up, you're going to... Jacob was still Jacob, but he walked with a limp. And I was taught that. Man, if you mess up, Buren, you're going to walk with a limp the rest of your life. I messed up years ago, and I told myself, I'll walk with a limp the rest of my life. It's a spiritual limp, but I'll walk with a limp the rest of my life. But this past couple of weeks, I read a scripture in Isaiah. And this is what it said. Did I give you that scripture? Did I give it to you? There it is. But now listen to me, Jacob, my servant, Israel, my chosen one. The Lord who made you and helps you says, do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, O dear Israel, my chosen one. Now, that's New Living Translation, who calls him Jacob and then calls him Israel. But if you go back to other translation, the King James translation says, do not be afraid, O Jeshurun. His name was Jacob, deceiver, supplanter. Changed to Israel. You have prevailed and you have power with God, but you got a limp. And he says, now I'm going to call you Jeshurun, he that walks uprightly with no limp. Fathers, we're none of us are perfect. But he says, I'll even heal your limp. And you won't even walk with a limp anymore. Because that's how powerful God really is. And this is what I encourage you to do. Read Isaiah 44, the whole chapter. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. And he just goes through there and telling how who God, who he really is. And all these other things that call themselves God's really not God. That he's really the God. But man, I just want to tell you, none of us are perfect. And we're going to miss the bullseye sometimes. But when you hit it, when you do, it's going to be exceptional. It's going to be at a moment and a time where it is going to just catapult your whole life and your family's life into a whole new arena. Always aim for the bullseye. You won't always hit it. You know, men, some women, but mostly men, are, you know, shoot guns and bow and arrows and throw darts. And there's always a bullseye to hit, right? Now, I've shot guns. I've hit the bullseye a few times. Most of the time I don't hit the bullseye. I've even years ago shot bow and arrows, and we had the target and the bullseye up there. I think I might have hit the bullseye maybe once with a bow and arrow. Maybe. Boy, it makes feel it, but when you hit it, you just call yourself an expert. Right? I mean, you hit it 1 out of 10 times, but you call yourself an expert because I hit the bullseye. Well, I'll tell you, that's what life is. You just keep aiming and shooting at the bullseye. You're an expert. I got my daddy's army coat framed in my room and office, and it's full of medals. And man, he was expert machine gunnist, expert rifleman. He had all three of these. Everything that had to do with weaponry, he was an expert in. Now, I know Daddy didn't hit the bullseye every time, but he hit it enough to be called an expert. We can just hit the bullseye a few times in life. We're experts because it's going to be so awesome and so meaningful and so powerful. I thank God for people, men like Terry Doss, who have been spiritual fathers, earthly fathers to raise and disciple their kids. Oh man, he discipled his kids. He is a pillar in this house. He's an example that every one of us ought to look at and say, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. And there's always somebody somewhere you can look at and say, that's what I want to be. The first time I ever met Terry and Penny, I mean, it wasn't long. I became their pastor, but you know what? They pastored me because I look at their life and I go, that's what I want to be. That's the father I want to be. That's the grandfather I want to be. That's the husband I want to be. That's the family I want to be. That's the family I want to be. There's somebody here that you can look to. There's somebody in the... You've got to have, first of all, men, a house of God. Jacob had to get him a house of God. And that's the first thing he did. I'm getting me a house of God. I'm going to find me a house of God. Let me tell you something. I'll say it to the day I die. The first thing you got to find as a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a father, you better find you a house of God. You got to get you and set into a house of God, because it's in that house of God that's going to make you become the person you need to be. And Jacob said, I need this house of God. I need to wrestle with who I am. I need to wrestle with it until it hurts. I need to wrestle with it until it's pain. I need to wrestle with this behavior. I need to wrestle with this deception. I need to wrestle with this thing. I need to fight it until I prevail. And I'm not going to stop fighting until it blesses me. I'm not going to stop fighting this thing until it turns around and what was not a blessing to me is now going to be a blessing to me. I'm not going to stop prevailing. I'm not going to stop trying. I'm not going to stop shooting. I'm not going to stop looking at the bullseye. I'm going to fight with every fiber of my being, because one day I'm going to see the face of God and my name's going to be changed from Jacob to Israel, because I prevail with God. I prevail with God. And then that limp is going to turn into uprightly. What the enemy meant for harm, God meant for good. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. I may fall, but I'm going to rise back up. And it's a total journey, men. It's a total journey. Your whole lifetime is going to be a journey of heart to head, head to heart, heart to head, head to heart, heart to head, head to heart. Sometimes I'm going to know what I need to do, and sometimes I'm going to feel what I need to do. But what God wants is both. I don't want you to just know it up here. I want you to feel it in here. Billy was at the office several weeks ago, and he's been in the house of God for how many years, Billy? A long, long time. But he started. We won't even go there, would we, Billy? But he was in Augusta, and he said he had this pastor. It was a Methodist church, right? Huh? You don't remember? Anyway, he's a Methodist pastor. He said on Sunday mornings, he said he was old. He said he preached so hard. He said his face would get so red. He said, I was afraid he's going to have a heart attack. And he told Susan one day, he says, you know, I'm going to go every Sunday morning and hear that man. Yes, Susan, tell you. Said, yeah, Susan said, I'm going to go every week and hear that, because, I said, why? Because if he believes it with that much passion, I'm not going to miss out. If he believes it that strongly, that's really real and that's really true, I ain't going to miss out. Because he found the house of God. You better find the house of God. And then Jacob said, I tell you what, Lord, if you'll really bless me, if you'll really do all this for me, you really give me this land, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a tenth of everything that comes my way. If you want to build a house, you want to know, you build this house. And I'm getting strong here. You ready? Three of you ready. You ready? You build this house, he'll build this house. You build this house, he'll build this house. Because the house of God is two. It's a collective house of God, and it's a personal house of God. The reason I believe in the church, I believe in the house of God, is because I've given my life to it. Yeah, that's one reason. I tied to it. Yeah. But the reason I really love the house of God is because of that, he's built this house of God. Because he made me, by building this house, built this house. Man, that's a song in that house. Build this house, I'll build that house. And that's the way it works. And here's a man who was a supplanter, a deceiver, fought with that for years. Deceived his father, deceived his father-in-law, deceived his brother. Fought with that until his nature was changed. Walked with a limp until that was changed. Because he didn't give up. Because he didn't stop. And I just want to encourage you. And this man, finish my thought, this man that went through those stages didn't come through Abraham, didn't come through Isaac, but a man named Jacob grabbed his staff one day, leaned on his staff, and called his 12 sons forth. And in Genesis 49, started pronouncing blessings on every son. He says, Reuben, you're this. Issachar, you're this. Simeon, you're this. Levi, you're this. And the Bible says that for all generations to come, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed because Jacob blessed his 12 sons. And what we're going to see in James, his name means Jacob. And he writes to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he took every single son and showed their blessings and how to keep their blessings and not lose their blessings. And that's what this series is all about. Not just how I'm going to get my blessings. You're already blessed. You're already blessed. It's how I'm going to keep my blessings and how I'm going to let my blessings flow through me. Yeah, I'm going to brag a moment. Not about me. My 14-year-old grandson, John Henry, is in Hong Kong visiting his biological father. And several weeks ago, he speaks at his chapel at his school. And that young man stands there. Dusty tried to get with him and said, John Henry, let me see your notes. Let me help you. And he said, no, right? No, you're not going to help me. Boy, I'm glad you didn't get his notes, because you would not have helped him. You would not have helped him. I'm glad I didn't see his notes. I would not have helped him. That 14-year-old stood there like a 95-year-old sage and read to them how God takes everything and works together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. and told them the story of about several months ago when he's in his bedroom and he's crying and he's weeping because he thinks his mom and dad got a divorce because of him, because she was pregnant when he left and he thought it was his fault, and it's his fault because they got a divorce. And he carries it through, and his mother comes down and says, "John Henry, why are you crying?" And then they begin to talk, and finally John Henry comes to the realization. And he says, "Do you wish it was differently?" He says, "No. I wouldn't have Anna, and I wouldn't have Jet, and I wouldn't have Chris. My life is much better because all this happened." 14-year-old boy takes life by the horns and says, "All things work together for good who them who love God and are called according to his purpose." Nothing can go wrong in your world. Nothing. Nothing. No matter what it is, what has happened, all things. All things work together for good through them who love God and are called according to his purpose. You just got to choose, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to let it work good? I have that choice every single day of my life. Every single day of my life. You got a man living with me who's right now dying of cancer. That God doesn't intervene, something doesn't happen, it's not going to make it. But he's chosen not to let that be his lot in life. He's chosen not to let that rob him of who he is, and rob him of his joy, and rob him of his peace. He's chosen, I'm going to take the cup, I'm going to drink it, and I'm going to believe. But no matter what, I'm not going to let this take from me. Not going to do it. I'm going to wrestle. I think sometimes we just, sometimes men, we got to fight. Got to fight. It's what the Old Testament is all about. Go fight for your families. Fight for your family. It's worth the fight. Fight. Get mad at the right thing. There is righteous indignation, but make it righteous indignation. Fight for the right thing. Fight. Fight till you get it. I'm 66. At the end of August 2017, I'm determined to be a better father, a better grandfather, a better spiritual father. I'm determined. Believe it or not, Jim, I got a few glitches. I got some. Got some imperfections. God told me when we started remodeling our house months ago, you're not doing this to just your home. This is a representation of what I'm fixing to do to you. It says every time you see a new board go up, every time you see a new deck, everything that happens in this house, I'm doing this to you. I'm going to rebuild you too. Aren't you glad you can't get too old to get rebuilt? We start in the last 2 weeks what we call tweaking Eagles Way Church. We're tweaking every ministry. We're going through it with fine tooth, I've been telling them, I want to put teeth into this. I want to put teeth into this. I want to put teeth into this. And so we're tweaking everything. And it ain't easy, is it? It ain't easy to tweak everything. It's not. It ain't easy to tweak this. When I think sometimes I really have it together. I really, especially when I look at other people, I go, "I know I do." But then God says, "You don't compare yourself with, you going to compare yourself, compare it with me. I can't compare with you." But when I start comparing with Jesus, I go, "I got some tweaking to do. I got a little tweaking to do. I got some tough love to get. I'm going to carry my cross. That's my tough love. I'm going to live sacrificially for you, for my wife, for my family." I don't know about you, but I'd be selfish sometimes. I know None of you are that way. None of you ever get selfish, right? I do. I mean, I can really be selfish. I can really want my way. Now, them, you talking about a Jacob? You looking at one. You looking at one. My wife's told me for years, said, it don't matter, you're going to get your way. She says, you just have a way. You just, and I used to think she was complimenting me. I used to think, well, she really thinks I'm special. I really did. I thought she was complimenting me. She wasn't. She was ripping my heart out. She wasn't complimenting me. She was saying, no, you're gonna get your way. I wanted a Jeep for years, and I remember when she got it, she said, well, you got your way. I don't want to stop that. Because, see, I'm capable of really, you've been with me long enough, Will. You know that. I can finagle my way in and out, and you not even know I'm doing it. you won't even know I'm getting my way. You know, I mean, they talked about me behind my back many a time, said he's gonna get his way. He's just that way. That's the Jacob. Man, I got it. Well, I am giving an altar call because I'm already here. But let's stand. Maybe that's a, whew, that hurt, tell that. Man. But I'm still a good person. Yeah. Wow, that hurt. You take that knife out I just put back there. Wow. One thing, somebody stab you in the back, stab yourself in the back. Wow, that's another situation. Is it okay to be vulnerable? Aren't you glad you got somebody that didn't stand up and try to tell you he's perfect? I'm not. But I'm striving, and I want to be. And I'm going to wrestle with this thing this summer. I'm going to wrestle with it till I get it. And I hope you commit to being here and wrestle with some things in your life that you need to wrestle with. Right? And you're going to have to wrestle. And it may hurt. I don't know if any, I hadn't been there, but I hear hip replacement's pretty painful, right? Jacob had his hip pulled out of his socket. Ooh, that hurt. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be painful. No pain, no gain. Good word. Going to grow, going to hurt. Has to. Why don't you bow your heads? Everybody. Now, you've heard this said before, but I mean it with all my heart. You better bow your head and close your eyes. And nobody looking but me and God. You've heard that. If you was ever in a Baptist church, you heard that 1,000 times. Close your head, eyes, bow your head, close your eyes. You're here with me, men, and you're gonna make a decision that I'm gonna wrestle with what I need to wrestle with. I'm gonna become a better father, better grandfather. By the end of this summer, I'm gonna see a noticeable difference in my life. Would you raise your hand and say, I'm in? I'm in. God bless you. Thank you, God. Thank you. I'm in. I am. Yeah, 2 hands up. There you go, dude. Get them both up. Yeah. Father, you're the Father of all fathers. And you can show us and teach us and let us see what each and every one of us need to do, what we need to change, what we need to wrestle with, what we need to come to an understanding and see who we really are. And that way, Lord, we can just bless other people. You bless us so we can be a blessing. And the reason we want all of this is so that we're able to pass it on from generation to generation to generation. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I think I've preached myself unworthy to take it, but I'm just kidding. But let's stand. I heard a guy tell me one time he went on a who went on a cruise. He came back and said, I need communion. I think I knew what he was talking about. We all need communion. But good thing about it, we can take it and walk away, and there's no guilt and no condemnation. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you come and receive your elements and go back to your seat. This week, as I was meditating on this, David, you came to my mind. I'm going to tell you exactly what the Lord told me to tell you, is that you are an awesome Father, and you have a future that's going to be so developed that you're a pillar in this house. You are a strength that you know not of in this house, and that God just wants you from this day forward. I know you already see yourself in a different light, but I want you to, when you look in a mirror, you see yourself as an awesome husband, awesome father, awesome, awesome, awesome. You're an example. And I thank God that there's so many good fathers in this house. So many. And so many going to be better. Going to be better. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for taking a stand and being who you are. Lord, we thank you that you gave your body. It was broken for us, and we receive it with thanksgiving. In Christ's name. And Lord, we lift this cup, and we thank you. There's a cup, you said, of blessing. This cup of blessing we receive in Christ's name. Amen.
You may be seated if you aren't already. Most of you have. A lot of important information that is in your bulletin. One of the things that is in your bulletin that is really important is that there is a meal being prepared for you right now. You talk about at the table? It's at the table. Spaghetti lunch is ready. Spaghetti and salad. And so you may or may not be prepared for that. You can go up there and grab more than enough for everybody that's here. So you can grab a plate to go. If you have plans already, you can eat it for dinner later on. If you want to, the reason for it is the youth have prepared it. Let me clarify just a little bit. They've taken bag salad and dumped it into a bowl, and they have boiled noodles. I had somebody else make the sauce. But it will be great. So we want you to plan on that. The donation, all of the funds that come in are going to help youth go to summer camp. So they're up there serving so that they can raise money to go to camp. You may not have come prepared to give to that, and that is okay. We still want you to go get a spaghetti dinner. If you've got a family you want to take a dinner to, you can go and you can grab that and you can take that to them. You know that you can give at any point in time. These offering buckets come by. We know that only half of you even put anything into the buckets because half of you are doing it online, either through the app or through the website. So we are appreciative of your faithfulness. And so at any point this in the memo line, you can just put the youth camp, and those funds will go to help the youth in that. So we're going to move on into something else so you guys can continue and go and pick those up, because we want to introduce someone to you. Not that you haven't ever met her before, but you're going to meet her in a new position. So Miss Linda Kay Kendrick, if you will come up. Linda Kendrick is taking over our nursery coordinator position or director position here at the church. And so Tasha is still with us, but she is taking a full-time job. She has finished her school and is now going to be the, if I'm not mistaken, this is her title, it's a foster care coordinator for Lamar County DFACS. And so, so I'm sure we'll hear more about Tasha. But we are excited for Miss Linda, and Bjorn is going to pray for her and bless her into that new position. One of the reasons that we chose Linda, besides her bubbly personality and her ability to do what needs to be done, is when Pastor Dwayne Swilly was here, one of the things that he talked about is that you're never too old to continue doing what God has called you to do. And so we're actually looking for infusion into our children's ministry, infusion of mentorship, infusion of the godly wisdom that is inside some of you that are not volunteering right now, that soon will be volunteering, right? And so we're excited about it. If we had just parents, okay, just parents of the children that are in there, if all of them were given a little bit of time, then it would only be once or twice a month that parents. So if we then added grandparents to giving a little bit of time, and I don't want to take your spiel, but it's amazing. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to say just a few words to them, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Buren to pray for you.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, I am 61 years old. I am the mother of three grown children. I am now the grandmother of eight grandchildren. Been married for 40 and a half years to the same man. And I've been in children's ministry for 38 years. There may have been a couple of months in between that I've taken time off, but for those of you who know me, children are my heart. But I would say to you today, even if children are not your greatest passion, even if you are not a teacher type person, my encouragement to you and my petition to you is that, as Pastor said, starting with growing the church is these babies, okay? They are the church. They're the future church. And I know for all of those of you that, you know, I do know, and those that I don't, I know that you have much to impart to these babies. And, you know, one of the things that my daughter Lena and I, Lena does the big kids, and I'm going to be doing the nursery. One of the things that, you know, she and I have talked about together is that it's not about teaching, okay? This is not about being a teacher. This is about serving. This is about saying, I can give an hour once a month or once every month to these kids to impart in them, even if it's just holding them, loving on them. You're going to do that with the cribs. You're going to do that pretty much with the toddlers. Pre-K, we just like to offer a little tiny lesson and just to help them to get to understand who God is and how much he loves them. You're God to them. And that's what we are asking you to do, okay? You know, even if you've never done this before, give it a shot. If you've been on the list before and you've taken your name off, please ask God, is this what I'm supposed to do? An hour once a month or once every month? You know what? You will be blessed. This is the church we're building here. And I know I'm passionate about it. That's just me. But I want to get you passionate about these kids, okay? These kids are our future. These kids are just the greatest blessing. You go into that classroom and they're like, you know, you see them out eating somewhere. It's like, that's my teacher. I mean, I just get excited about that. And I want you to as well. So even if you haven't thought about it, I'm asking you to think about it. There's going to be some sheets out front, okay? And I'm asking you to put your name, your email, your phone. And it has a space for each one of the things. You know, I'm not a big baby person, okay? I'm not a big crib person, okay? I'm a toddler and, you know, let's run around and whatever. So, you know, I'd rather not do cribs. But toddlers or the pre-K or upstairs, you've got kindergarten first, second and third, and fourth and fifth. Great kids. Great kids. Mark what you want to do, all right? So I'm believing that Lena Fullup doesn't have to be upstairs every single Sunday. because she doesn't have any helpers, okay? I'm believing, Tasha was in there every single week. I'm believing we can spread the wealth, okay? And y'all can do your part. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for what we're going to see, an increase that we can do this once every couple of months. And I thank you so very much for all that you do.
You know, let's stand together. And while you were talking about that, I was reminded years ago we did a started our video ministry. And we had this very complicated, sophisticated system that was a lot of work to put together. And I remember telling the head of that at that time, I said, every time you put a wire together, every time this connects to this connect to this connect, don't see wires, see people. See a life changed. And when you work in children's ministry, don't see you work in children's ministry. Somebody in here, life is being changed. Somebody's soul's being saved. Something's happening good in someone's life. So when you're changing that mess to diaper, don't see the mess. Try to think about somebody in the sanctuary who's getting their mess straightened out. All right?
It's good that you brought. Maybe it works. Does it work?
Not yet.
I think my battery died. We're in need of a camera guy.
We're in need of a camera guy. Okay, awesome.
Let me just
lots
say,
of areas to serve.
Let me just say one more thing. I mean, and that's what I forgot to say. You know, you say, I don't know where to serve. Well, boom, we just gave you some ideas, okay? How easy is it for kids? Those who want to do, like, the first two, whatever, you know, the kids upstairs, okay? The curriculum that we have is so ridiculously simple. It's like children's church for idiots. I mean, it's just that simple. It just is. It's all laid out for you. And Lena does a fabulous job of getting everything ready for you. And, I mean, it's just like you just show up with a heart to serve.
Love on these kids, and thank you.
I guess this is big church for idiots, so we are. There's a series of books out for dummies. You know, we try to make it simple for all of us. Father, all right. Thank you for people like Linda Kendrick. Thank you, Lord, for her willingness to serve in this area. Thank you, God, for meeting every need. As we go through tweaking, Lord, Eagles Way Church, and just trying to make every aspect of ministry more effective. Lord, give us wisdom, give us understanding. And Lord, I just thank you for people looking around and saying, what can I do? What part can I play? What can I do to help? And we just thank you for that. And we thank you, God, for this food that we're about to receive. Thank you for the hands prepared it. And we sanctify it by the word and prayer in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Bless you. Thanks.